It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Okmanesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Hey there, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in. A Wednesday edition of the show underway. I am your host, Cole Bear. Inside the Shirley Street studio, it is November 2nd of 2022. Thank goodness it feels like it could be September 2nd out there. Hopefully you've had an opportunity to enjoy the great weather we've been having so far this week. A lot to get to on the show today. Details forthcoming. First things first, however you are tuned in, whether it's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Thank you so very much for being here. Make sure that you follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColeBear. Like the Facebook page, type in 1650TheFan. You'll find it. Hammer that like button, then you'll be all set and ready to go. Also, make sure, too, that you check out that website, not only for the stream. It's where you can find the podcast of this show. Perhaps you've seen the tweets of who's been on recent shows, and you missed a recent interview. You can always go find it on demand at the website, 1650thefan.com. So bookmark it. Make it a regular stop for yourself on the World Wide Web, and it's also where you can get all sorts of local and statewide sports content that's fresh on a daily basis. So work it into your mixture on the interwebs, and you won't regret it. If you want to connect today with the show, you can dial me up, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or you can dial 800-913-9479, or you could email the show. Email address is Cole, C-O-L-E, at 1650thefan.com. All right, coming up today on the show, of course, we'll start it off here with area sports news and scores. It's day two of three at the State High School Volleyball Tournament in Coralville, and got an update for you on one area team that is in action right now in a Class 2A semifinal, so I'll get that to you in just a few short moments. Of course, after we're done there, we'll take timeout number one, get you a CBS Sports Flash, a VSiN Action Update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as a forecast for the rest of this Wednesday, looking into tomorrow and Friday. We'll come back from that first timeout, and we will be joined by Cedar Falls Tiger football play-by-play voice, Dave Finnegan. You hear him every Friday throughout the high school football season over on our companion station, Cruising KCFI. And those Cedar Falls Tigers, they are still alive and looking good in the state high school football playoffs. They've got a quarterfinal matchup at the Unidome against West Des Moines Valley coming up on Friday night. Pre-game coverage of that one going to begin at 6:30 over on Cruisin'. Dave set to join us in the next segment of today's show to get us a good preview of that one. And I do know that tomorrow morning between 6 and 8 on Maximum Mornings with our Mark Simpson, you will be able to hear from Cedar Falls Tiger football coach Brad Remmer. So make a note of that. And if you're unable to listen to Mark's show, I'll make sure and bring you a little bit of that interview he had with Coach Remmer tomorrow on the program as well. Speaking of tomorrow's program, I want to pass this along real quick. Iowa State second-year assistant men's basketball coach, former longtime UNI men's basketball coach, Kyle Green, is scheduled to join tomorrow's show. The Iowa State men's basketball team opens its 2022-23 season this coming Monday. Yes, you will hear Cyclone men's basketball right here on The Fan. Coming up on Monday, that's a 6 o'clock pregame, 7 o'clock tip, as the Cyclones host IUPUI, and it's more like IUPU, as John Walters of the Cyclone Radio Network put it on Monday when he joined the show like usual. IUPUI somehow is worse than Chicago State is these days. They are ranked last on KenPom's list of over, 300-some Division I men's basketball teams. So let's just say I like the Cyclones' chances on Monday. And I have to imagine that after we talk to Coach Green tomorrow on the show, you might even like him a little bit more. So maybe the Cyclones can repeat what they did a season ago and go perfect in non-conference play. 13-0, if I remember correctly, the Cyclones were last season in out-of-conference games. So we continue to talk basketball as the season draws near. You got UNI men's basketball, which is returning to the hardwood at McLeod Center tonight. In an exhibition game against Dubuque. Told you yesterday on the show and also mentioned it Monday that Ben Jacobson unveiled his starting lineup. You're going to have James Betts at the five, Titan Anderson at the four, and in the backcourt, returners Bowen Bourne, Nate Heisey, and then true freshman Trey Campbell. Yes, the former All-State standout for the Cedar Falls Tigers is in Ben Jacobson's starting lineup tonight as the Panthers battle Dubuque in an exhibition game. Former decorated Panther Robbie Sieverding, if you're unaware, is the head coach of Dubuque. So it ought to be a good night, good vibes inside the McLeod Center as those two teams get ready for their regular seasons to begin. All right, after I told you we're going to talk to Dave Finnegan, Cedar Falls Tiger football play-by-play voice, coming up in the next segment of today's show. After we're done talking Tiger football with Dave, we'll, of course, take a timeout near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim, come back on the other side of that break, and Sean Keeler, our friend of the show, Denver Post sports columnist and reporter, former longtime Des Moines Register sports columnist, slated to join the show in the third segment today. A lot to talk about on the national sports scene as the NFL trade deadline come and went yesterday, with more action than ever before. It was a record-breaking day for the NFL trade deadline. I touched on it just a little bit during yesterday's show. Had some fun with David Eicholt, or poked fun at David Eicholt about his Packers. But we'll dig in on that with Sean. Also, some of what's trending on the college football scene. And check in with him as well on the World Series as the Phillies got a 2-1 lead last night. After Game 3, and Game 4 is tonight. I am all the way in on the bandwagon for the Philadelphia Phillies. I'm not looking to become like a Philly fanatic or a Philly dude or a Philly boy. There's no way I'd be able to hang or would even come close to fitting in with that fan base. I'm not going to try to. I will just say I like Kyle Schwarber. I like Nick Castellanos. I like Bryce Harper. Zach Wheeler. Aaron Nola, they're guys that are, I find, pretty easy to root for. If they were playing the Cubs, I'd be rooting against them. But especially going up against the scumbag cheaters who are the Houston Astros, and I will continue to bring this up. I don't know why in the hell Dan Patrick makes himself so seemingly obsessed with wondering if people still hate the Astros. Yes, Dan, a lot of baseball fans still hate the Astros. I love you. Your show's great. But I just, for the life of me, don't understand why at any opportunity when a Major League Baseball or, you know, writer, reporter is on, he wants to make a deal out of it like it's some sort of affront to the Astros that people still hate him. They're big scumbag cheaters. It's no different than Bill Belichick with the New England Patriots. He's still a scumbag cheater. He filmed other teams' walkthroughs and got caught red-handed. The Astros got caught cheating red-handed, and the punishment did not measure up to the crime. So, yeah, I still hate him, and I know that's a strong word. I don't necessarily hate anybody personally, but what they represent as a baseball franchise, I hate them. If that makes me less of a person, so be it. But they're a bunch of scumbags, and I hope they lose. So there you go. There you have it. All right. On a much lighter note, before we dive into area sports news and scores, I'm all fired up now. Hey, make sure you get your Week 3 Pigskin Pick'em selections in. Ultimate Pigskin Pick'em Frenzy has entered Week 3. Congratulations once again to Mike Perdue on his big win in Week 2. He won a $50 gift certificate to Dad's Pub in Waterloo. They are the host of 2022 Fan Frenzy coming up on Monday, December 5th. And if you continue to play Ultimate Pigskin Pick'em Frenzy week by week, that's just going to help your chances of being one of the 75 lucky people that are invited to join us for Fan Frenzy. There are so many of you, as I mentioned yesterday, still in the running. You may not have won week one or week two and gotten seven picks right. Or, for example, this past week, multiple people got 7 out of 8 picks right. But it was Mike Perdue who was closest on the tiebreaker, which was points, total points between Oklahoma and Iowa State in that college football game this past Saturday. So that was the difference maker for Mike. And that's how tightly contested this all is right now. And there are so many of you that are just right there in the thick of it that have a chance to still be there at the end and win that Green Mountain Grill from Tubbs R Us, our great sponsor in Waterloo, a $900 value grill, as the kids would say, it is trick. So make sure that you're getting your picks in, because the deadline is tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, as the first pick you will make among eight this week is Thursday Night Football with the Philadelphia Eagles in H-Town to take on the Texans. So get there right now. It's right smack dab on the homepage, 1650thefan.com, presented by Hawkeye Audio Video in Cedar Falls. Week 3 of Ultimate Pigskin Pick'em Frenzy. Be there, be square. All right, let's dive right in here. Area sports news and scores. The state volleyball tournament got underway yesterday in Class 3A, 2A, and 1A with quarterfinal matches, and several area schools were in action. Just a full recap. We had some of this yesterday on the show. But a full recap in 3A. Top seed Des Moines Christian rallied after losing the first set to defeat Union in 4 sets. In 2A, top seed and two-time defending state champ Dyke New Hartford rolled past Carroll Kemper in 3 sets. Hinton got past Denver in 4 sets. Whole Western Christian came back to defeat Sumner Fredericksburg in 4 sets. And Eddyville Blakesburg Fremont surprised 3-seed Wapsie Valley in 4 sets. In area matches in Class 1A yesterday, Ankeny Christian swept Don Bosco in 3 sets. Gladbrook Rhinebeck took down Holy Trinity in 4 sets. And AGWSR stormed back to stun 2-seed North Tama in 5 sets. Meanwhile, semifinal matches taking place today in all 5 classes at the state volleyball tournament in Coralville. In 2A this afternoon, it began at 4, top seed Dyke New Hartford taking on 4-seed Hinton. Checked on this one before we went on air at the top of the hour, and the Wolverines of Dyke New Hartford leading 1-0, 1-0 over Hinton. Right now, we'll get you an update on that game before we go off the air at the end of the hour. Meanwhile, later tonight in Class 1A at 6 o'clock, 3rd seed Gladbrook Rhinebeck takes on 7th seed AGWSR. The high school football playoffs continue this week with quarterfinal games in all 7 classes. 8-player games begin tomorrow. Rest of the classes play on Friday night. Remember, you can hear all the coverage of Cedar Falls' Class 5A quarterfinal game against West Des Moines Valley at the Unidome Friday night on our companion station, Cruising KCFI. Pregame coverage with Dave Finnegan, who joins us next, will begin at 6:30. The UNI women's basketball team hosted Cornell College in an exhibition last night at McLeod Center, and the Panthers rolled past the Division III opponent 97-46. Grace Bofelli led the Panthers with a double-double, scoring 18 points and grabbing 11 rebounds. 11 different UNI players scored. Northern Iowa opens its regular season on Monday when it plays host to St. Thomas. As I mentioned, the UNI men's basketball team hits the hardwood at McLeod Center tonight for an exhibition game against Dubuque. Bowen Bourne, Nate Heisey, James Bett, Titan Anderson, and Trey Campbell, your starting Panthers tonight. Game time is at 7 o'clock. The Panthers open their regular season on Monday against Wartburg. The UNI football team is getting ready for its home finale on Saturday when it plays host to number 1 South Dakota State. UNI's last win over a top-ranked opponent was in 2014 when the Panthers defeated North Dakota State 23-3, ending the Bison's FCS record 33-game winning streak at the time. The Panthers are coming off a 37-36 win at then number 24 Southern Illinois. Kickoff on Saturday at the Dome is at 4. Iowa senior linebacker Jack Campbell has been named a semifinalist for a pair of prestigious awards. Campbell is up for the Chuck Bednarik Award. We told you that earlier this week. He's also a semifinalist for the Buckus Award, given to the nation's top linebacker. Campbell currently leads the Big Ten with 82 tackles and ranks 11th nationally with 10.3 tackles per game. All right, let's take this time out. CBS Sports Flash, VSiN Action Update, and a forecast all coming your way. On the other side, we're talking Cedar Falls Tiger football. The Tigers host West Des Moines Valley. Dave Finnegan, your play-by-play voice of Tiger football, joins us next on this Wednesday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
Now, some breaking news, and according to ESPN, federal prosecutors have opened a criminal investigation into allegations that the Commanders engaged in financial improprieties. This comes hours after Daniel and Tanya Snyder hire Bank of America to look into potential transaction of the team. Colts owner Jim Irsay had recently said the NFL should try to move on from the Snyders. The World Series matchup seemed to be a one-sided affair, but it's turned into quite a series, with the Phillies, despite the long layoff, continuing to ride an incredible wave of momentum. They're up 2-1 entering tonight's Game 4. The Astros scored 5 runs in each of the first two, but were silent last night, held to just 5 hits. Manager Dusty Baker said the Phillies' offense certainly makes everyone stand up and take notice.
It's pretty evident what kind of threat they pose, and they can hit the ball out of the ballpark, and they can hit. And so, we just got to go back to the drawing board.
It'll be Aaron Nola and Christian Javier on the mound tonight. Kansas head coach Bill Self and assistant Curtis Townsend have been suspended for the first 4 games following recruiting violations uncovered during an FBI investigation into corruption in college basketball 5 years ago. I'm Rich Ackerman.
Coming up later on the Zach Gelb Show, Giants general manager Joe Shane and former NFL MVP Sean Alexander stop by. 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific.
Get maximum sports on Alexa. Just say, Alexa, open 1650 The Fan.
Did you know that Masterforce has thousands of tools at Menards? Any tool you want, we have. There are hammers, drills, pliers, levels, wrenches, grinders, sanders, air compressors, nailers, workbenches, mowers, blowers, chainsaws, floor jacks, knee pads, work lights, fans. Whew. And that's just a taste. Want power, performance, durability? Come check out the wide range of products from Masterforce, exclusively at Menards.
Don't be fooled by Liz Mathis. She's just a rubber stamp for Biden and Pelosi.
Liberal Liz Mathis. Her campaign, bankrolled by Pelosi. Her radical agenda, the same as Pelosi's.
She wants higher taxes and more government spending, just like Pelosi.
Liz Mathis opposed the largest tax cut in Iowa history.
She thinks I should pay taxes on my retirement income.
Mathis even wants to tax the mileage on my car.
If you like Nancy Pelosi, you'll love Liz Mathis.
Liberal Liz Mathis. She'll be Pelosi's voice in Washington, not yours. The Iowa choice, Ashley Hinson. Hinson will stand up to the radical Pelosi agenda, not rubber stamp it.
Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi are on the ballot here in Iowa, and they're going by the name Liz Mathis. I'm Ashley Hinson, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message because we need to defeat them to take our country back.
Paid for by Ashley Hinson for Congress.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
After the Phillies dominated Game 3 of the World Series, pounding out a record-tying 5 homers in a 7-0 win over the Astros, the teams each had -110 on the money line coming into Game 4 tonight.
7.5 the total.
The first college football playoff rankings released Tuesday. Tennessee number 1, followed by Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson, and Michigan. The Buckeyes, the latest favorite to win the college football playoff at +190, Georgia +200, 6th-ranked Alabama at +375.
Bulls playing on back-to-back nights. Chicago at home tonight against the Hornets as a 5.5-point favorite. Bulls back to 500 at 4-4 with a road win over Brooklyn. Red Hot winning picks at experts.winnersandwiners.com. Save 75% on any best bet package with the promo code ACTION75. That's ACTION75 at experts.winnersandwiners.com.
I'm Trey Westerberg, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Mainly clear skies tonight with a low of 55. Southerly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected tomorrow, 72. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow night, lows around 53, overcast. Low 60s Friday with a chance for scattered storms. Chance for scattered showers on Saturday, highs in the low 50s. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 74.
You're listening to Cole & Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650, The Fan.
Welcome back. Wednesday edition of the show continues, and we're just one sleep away from the quarterfinal round of the eight-player playoffs getting underway. And two nights from now, we will have the rest of the seven classes, six of them to be precise, kicking off their quarterfinal playoff games. And your Cedar Falls Tiger football team is set to play host to West Des Moines Valley at the Unidome. And we are joined by the play-by-play voice of the Tigers. You hear him over on our companion station all season long, cruising KCFI, Dave Finnegan. Dave, how you doing today, man? Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Cole. It's all it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood right now. That's all I can say about it.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, usually this time of the year we are thanking our lucky stars for the roof over the Unidome, but I guess I haven't looked that far ahead. Maybe it's supposed to cool off a little bit, but still. Great weather this time of the year. Hopefully that holds true for everybody else playing outside on Friday night. And first things first, though, let's go back to last Friday night. The Tigers get a 14-10 win over Ankeny Centennial. They avenge that loss from mid-September against the Jaguars. So looking back on that win, what things still stick out the most from the Tigers' performance?
I think two things really stand out to me. I think defensively is the first thing that you're always going to point out about Cedar Falls in the game. You look at some just incredible individual performances. Drew Gertis, I thought, had his best game of the season at the linebacker spot. He had 13.5 tackles, a pass breakup, two tackles for loss. Drew Campbell, again, just absolutely tremendous at the end spot. He forced at least one, if not two, fumbles in that game. And then Colin Coonrad from the safety position, turned out to recover what ended up essentially being the game-winning fumble with about 8 minutes to go. Tigers stuffed Centennial on fourth and goal from the one. So just a lot of tremendous individual efforts that amounted to a team effort. And, you know, the other thing that stands out to me is just their ability, Cedar Falls' ability, I should say, to take advantage of situations. The Tigers, and I talk with Brad Remmert every week about it, he talks about aiming for the three turnover mark, looking to get to turn the opponent over three times on defense, and that's what the Tigers were able to achieve. They forced three fumbles against Centennial. One of them was inside the Centennial 10, one of them was inside the Centennial 25, and the other one I just mentioned was right at the goal line as the Jaguars were getting set to go in to take the lead in the fourth quarter. So talk about making big plays at big times. I mean, it certainly wasn't a pretty offensive performance. It wasn't a pretty performance just in general. The Tigers only had six first downs, only gained 104 yards of total offense. But neither of those numbers are going to get you into the quarterfinals in Class 5A. You just have to put more points on the scoreboard, and that's what they did.
Yeah, the Tigers are not going to apologize for maybe not winning the beauty contest as it relates to this postseason, which makes me want to follow up, Dave, on what's been an outstanding defensive unit all season long, certainly in the postseason so far. Saw a stat earlier today that the scoring defense of this Tiger unit, 10.6, that's what they're allowing on average. That's third best among remaining playoff teams, and it's just a couple tenths of a point behind who's sitting in first and second. So what would you say with regard to you know, what this defense looks like now compared to the start of the season. Like, who or what has grown and developed to make what was a really good unit at the start of the season an even better one as we sit here today on November 2nd?
I think we kind of knew going into the season the Tiger front four was going to be kind of its, you know, top unit, so to speak. I mean, that front four with Bonenkamp and Drew Campbell at the two edge spots, and then, you know, Andrew Lagschulte was on the inside. Of course, unfortunately, he's out with the injury. And then Jordan Jones-Whittaker, I think, has played really good football this season for Cedar Falls. Noah Thayer has come in Lagschulte's absence and played well. But I think the development of particularly that linebacking core from Cedar Falls has really just been something that has really kind of turned the tide. Of course, you know, looking back at the start of the season, the Tigers pitched two shutouts in a row to start things off, and you know, that might kind of lead you to think, okay, it's all going to be, you know, sunshine and balloons, as the late Al McGuire might have said at some point. But and then they kind of took a couple lumps. They lost at home to Prairie handily. They lost on the road to Centennial, and you know, they really had to do a little gut check there. They were sitting at 2-2, and you really didn't know what kind of a season it was going to be. But you know, you look down the stretch here, you know, the point output the last 7 weeks has been, you know, 0, 16, 7, 7, 14, 10, 0. So, I mean, you look at those and say, well, you know, they know when to rise up and get the big sack or make the big tackle. And I think the linebacking core, going back to the original question, has been the key to that. Drew Gerdes, I mentioned earlier, he's the team's leading tackler. I think Drew Langner's been very solid. Ryan Bowling's played well. And, you know, they were, again, anticipating big contributions from Kyron Terry. Unfortunately, he's been hurt as well this year. So a combination of the growth of that unit plus a next man in mentality has really carried them far.
Cedar Falls High School football play-by-play voice Dave Finnegan, our guest right now on a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company. Tigers have a state playoff football quarterfinal against West Des Moines Valley this Friday night at the Unidome. Pregame coverage at 6:30 with Dave. Logan Blackman will be alongside for the color commentary. Dave, as much as we've talked about that Cedar Falls Tiger defense, and rightfully so, you can't leave the offense out of the conversation. While nobody's going to mistake that unit for a juggernaut, what it has done is play complementary football. And I don't think that should be something that's swept under the rug. That offense's ability to possess the football, get first downs, maybe not always be as efficient as they might like in the red zone. Certainly, you know, that's been a point of conversation, and hopefully that's not something that they can't overcome here down the stretch as they, you know, aim for a state championship. But I think there's maybe a little more than meets the eye with this group. And what would you say about them, and maybe how they might be able to prove some doubters wrong, not only maybe this Friday night, but if they're fortunate enough to get a win, however long this ride goes?
I think you've got to start with Drake Galehouse in the backfield. I remember coming on and chatting with you at the start of the season and predicting that Cedar Falls would have a 1,000-yard rusher this season. But, you know, I think we discussed at the time that was going to be Jacob Keeler, and unfortunately he suffered the torn labrum. He hasn't played at all this season. But the emergence of Drake really is a true bell cow back. He's carried 238 times this season. He's rushed for nearly 1,400 yards and 14 touchdowns. So, I mean, they can rely on him to get you 6, 7, 8 yards a pop pretty much any time. They can rely on him on a 3rd and 3 or 3rd and 4 to absolutely get a first down. And I think Tate Hermanson's played pretty good football at the quarterback spot, too. The numbers, you know, certainly aren't flashy. You know, he's only completed probably 60% of his passes this season. He's thrown only 5 touchdown passes. But the thing you can know with Tate is that he's never going to let you down as far as turning the ball over. He's only thrown 1 pick this season. And, you know, when you average that out over the course of 10 games, I mean, that's NFL-like numbers as far as ball security. I mean,
Yeah. You
want to be able to say, okay, I know Tate's going to take us out there, and he's not going to give it up. So, you know, those are two players that I think have played good ball, both juniors, and, you know, they've kind of grown into their roles, both in terms of X's and O's as well as leadership throughout the course of this season, and those are two guys the team can really rely on now.
What do we know about this West Des Moines Valley team? 5-4 in the regular season, albeit more often than not, they play a pretty tough slate of teams on their schedule. So what can you tell us about West Des Moines Valley, Dave, and how they're going to challenge these Tigers on Friday night?
Well, I think one of the last words you said in that question there, Cole, was challenge, and that's certainly what it's going to be. And, you know, in looking back on the RPI ratings over the last few weeks of the regular season, I think Valley was either 15th or 16th heading into the last week of the regular season. So they had to win to get in. And I think sometimes, I mean, you're seeing it now in baseball with the Philadelphia Phillies. They had their backs to the wall, and now they've just gone on a hot streak. And, you know, I think that, you know, Gary Swenson down at Valley is thinking and hoping that this would be, you know, a chance for them to maybe get hot. They, you know, they sneak into the playoffs. They beat Pleasant Valley, and you know, out of the teams that I didn't want to see Cedar Falls match up against, PV was the one opponent that I said, oh, that's going to be really tough. But for Valley, they can run the football and they can run it well. Darius Mason's a tremendous back. He's got 7 touchdowns on the season. Michael Provenza is a quarterback that's a true dual threat. He's rushed for 10 touchdowns. He's passed for another 6. So they've got some threats, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. And, you know, looking over at the defense, I mean, a team that allows a PV rushing attack to just 10 points in a first-round playoff game last week, I mean, that's certainly nothing to fool around with.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Tigers are definitely going to have their hands full. Dave, thanks so much for your time today. Appreciate it. And have a great call on Friday night, okay?
Appreciate it, Cole. Thanks so much.
Dave Finnegan, your Cedar Falls Tiger football play-by-play voice. Hear him on Cruising KCFI all season long. And this Friday night as the Tigers take on West Des Moines Valley in a high school state football playoff quarterfinal. All right, let's take this next time out. Radio Iowa Sports coming up. On the other side, Sean Keeler, our friend from the Denver Post, sports columnist and reporter, former longtime Des Moines Register sports columnist. He will join. We'll talk a little bit about what's trending as it relates to all the hot national topics, college football, the NFL, the World Series, all that and more coming up with Sean next on this Wednesday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. Iowa State junior guard Jared Hufford says the offense needs to be more consistent in Saturday's game against West Virginia. The Cyclones are 0-5 in the Big 12 and ranked last in the conference in rushing.
I think the frustration is that all of us are, you know, we're playing our hardest. You know, there's not one guy that I don't think is trying his absolute best for the team, including myself. And, you know, just to see that our effort is not getting the results we want, that's definitely the mostly frustrating part.
College basketball tonight, the UNI men host the University of Dubuque in an exhibition contest. The semifinals are underway at the state volleyball tournament in Iowa City. 5A top-ranked Iowa City Liberty beat number 6 Ankeny Centennial. Third-ranked Pleasant Valley got by West Des Moines Valley. 4A semis, number 1 Cedar Rapids Xavier beat 5th-ranked Western Dubuque in straight sets. 8th-ranked Clear Creek Amana rallied to edge number 2 North Scott in 5 sets. This is Radio Iowa.
Tom Miller's been Attorney General almost 40 years, and every year he gets more liberal. Today, Miller's just a rubber stamp for the radical Biden agenda. Miller supports amnesty for illegal immigrants, just like Biden. He turned his back on law enforcement, just like Biden. Miller even allowed a convicted child predator to walk free because the man had a sex change. Liberal Tom Miller. After 40 years, he's retired on the job and making Iowa less safe.
The choice for Iowa law enforcement? Brenna Byrd, a tough-as-nails prosecutor. As Attorney General, Brenna Byrd will enforce the Constitution, not trample on it. Byrd will stand up for law enforcement and keep criminals behind bars. That's why more than 70 Iowa sheriffs endorse Brenna Byrd. Brenna Byrd, the law enforcement pick for Attorney General. Paid for by Byrd for Iowa.
The Cedar Falls School District is proud to announce students Jack Beecher and Akshat Mehta have been named semifinalists for the 2023 National Merit Scholarship Program. Also, Elena Davidson, Grant Redford, and Cassell Taylor have been named commended students. About 95% of the semifinalists are expected to attain finalist standing, and approximately half of the finalists will win a National Merit Scholarship. To become a finalist, the semifinalist student and a high school official must submit a detailed scholarship application detailing the student's demonstrated leadership abilities, service to the community, employment, and honors and awards received. A semifinalist must have an outstanding academic record throughout high school, be endorsed and recommended by a high school official, write an essay, and earn stellar SAT or ACT scores. Let's congratulate these students, their families, and their educators in the Cedar Falls School District.
Cedar Falls Schools, every student, every day.
Whether you consider Ballkirken home or another law firm to represent you for your injury, it's important to know what to look for. A common misconception is that any lawyer can handle any type of case. While this may be true technically, it is important to find a lawyer that specializes in the type of matter you have. When interviewing a personal injury attorney, make sure the focus is on how they can help you. You're the client and the decision maker. As a client, you shouldn't feel rushed into taking a settlement or feel hurried to sign papers with an attorney. If you feel an attorney's taking shortcuts, like making you get your own medical records or put up a lot of your own money, consider other options.
Hello.
As a full-service personal injury attorney, they should work for you. They should get the medical records.
Excuse me? They should ensure
all the information is gathered. And they, if they believe in your case, should put full investment of time and resources behind your matter.
For a free consultation, visit BallKirkHome.com. Ballkirken Home, helping injured Iowans since 1958.
Kevin Kubler here from Westwood One. Thursday night football is coming up from Houston with the Texans hosting the 7-0 Philadelphia Eagles in prime time. Ross Tucker and I will call the action as Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, and the Eagles look to start a season 8-0 for the first time in franchise history. It should be exciting. Join us for the Eagles at the Texans on Thursday Night Football.
Coverage begins at 6:30 on 1650 The Fan. This is the home of Cole & Company. For the ride home, weekdays 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan, the Cedar Valley sports leader.
Wait a minute, what the hell's going on? Sean Keeler connects during the commercial break. Doesn't even get five words out of his mouth, and I realize I'm not paying attention. My goodness, Sean, welcome to the show. How are you doing today, man?
I'm good. You're not paying attention?
Well, here's... Never. Hey, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, all right? Because the high school state volleyball tournament's going on. I'm tracking some scores. We're talking Cedar Falls Tiger football in the last segment. And now we're expanding our horizons right now during this segment, as we like to do. And then I see that less than an hour ago, so I would have been mired in show prep, as you know, as a professional that I am.
Mired being one of my favorite verbs.
Now, did Brett Yormark, the Big 12 commissioner, had himself a bigwig meeting with Gonzaga, and it's not a sure thing, but Gonzaga may be leaving the WAC to join the Big 12? Whoa.
Yeah, I see Gonzaga wanting bigger paydays the way that Wichita and Creighton did. You know, to bring it back to terms we kind of all know.
Sure.
Whether that works with the Big 12 in a non-football capacity, I don't know. That's a little goofy to me. But I guess you're not going to have any non-football options if you're the Zags. I mean, you're basically, you know, you're the Creighton of the North Great Northwest there. So I don't know. That's fairly new. I just saw that scrolling through as I was mired in my show prep, which is about 45 seconds of scrolling before you call me to make sure I know what's up, because it's kind of my off day because I'm on all weekend. So
it means a lot that you put effort into every appearance that you make on this show.
I am mired in what I do for you.
It is not lost on me. Sean Keeler, Denver Post sports columnist and reporter, former longtime Des Moines Register sports columnist. Follow him on Twitter at Sean Keeler. First things first, I have to talk about the NFL trade deadline. How exciting. Like,
we've had the two biggest, it's like Christmas here, because basically two of the best Broncos players have been dealt in back-to-back deadline days.
But
you know, it's like we don't get playoffs and we've turned into Cleveland. It's like all about everything but the season. No, that would be the NFL draft. You turn into Cleveland. It's like, hey, we got the first pick. Here we go. And then the rest of your year's downhill. Man, it's all about the trade deadline in Denver, baby. It's all we do.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, if I'm not mistaken, Winnie's been healthy. Bradley Chubb's been effective. Has he lived up to that, you know, early first round pedigree? I'm not sure. You tell me.
The truth is in the middle. He's not one of the best five players from that draft.
Exactly.
Obviously, in hindsight, what was Josh Allen? Was he 10, 9? I'm trying to remember how far down he goes. It's the old great thing. If you could redraft everything again, what would you do? A Chubb would not be 5. The Broncos would have taken Allen. It still chafes people. I was still doing Big Ten stuff when this happened. That they had to make a choice and they had to, got to see Josh Allen, as you guys did when he was an upperclassman at Wyoming.
Yeah.
I remember when he came to Kinnick and he was a strong arm guy who I think didn't score a point. And I went, yeah, whatever. And apparently a lot of Denver and NFL scouts kind of looked at games like that Iowa game and went, yeah, whatever. Well, mm-hmm. We were wrong. we kind of all misjudged that one.
Just a little bit.
Pretty badly. And Iowa had, as now, a really good defense then. So, yeah, that's a tougher one in hindsight. So, no, is Bradley Chubb a top five pick? No. Is he overrated? No. I think he's a solid Pro Bowl kind of pass rusher.
Yeah.
And the kind of guy you don't move if you're 6-2 and 5-3, but you do move if you're 3-5 and need to get into the first round.
So that's the fallout, or it, maybe there's another word for it, if the vibes are good after a trade deadline, whether it be Major League Baseball or the NFL, for that matter, Sean, where I sit here as a Bears fan and go, hey, we moved a couple pieces that are win-now pieces, and we're not winning anything right now, and got some value back, and then got a little help for our offense. I think it was nice that the Bears made a buy-side trade, because I think their locker room could only take so much of, you know, so many gut punches, if you will, to their ego. So I think it's nice that they made a buy-side trade. It's nice that it sounds like they beat the Packers for him. So I'm sitting here as a Bears fan feeling good, but I'm honestly equally as curious, like, what does a team like the Broncos fan base feel like right now? Because you go get Russ, meanwhile you're sellers at the deadline, and you're not out of anything yet. Not that the Broncos look great, but they're not out of anything.
No, and the town's down. I mean, people are down. I think it's sunk in that they, you know, you can't be too celebrant. I mean, it's gotten so bad that you're celebrating a win over Jacksonville. I mean, it's kind of the thing where this town, yeah, it swings emotionally a little too hot and cold either way. But I think it was the realization. There's a lot of layers to this, and it would make for very even more boring radio than I normally am. But basically, the mood is down because they realize this team certainly isn't going to win the division, probably in a weird AFC, unless something's really turned around, isn't going to make the playoffs, and that this was a smart business decision, but a painful football decision, if that makes sense. The locker room feels bad, the fans feel bad, and yet they also understand it because, A, you still have 4 competent outside linebackers / defensive ends. You were trading from surplus, A. B, you weren't going to get a long-term deal with him done, because if you were, it would have been done before this season. And Russ got a lot of that money, just like he sucks up all the oxygen in the room. He sucks up all your salary cap. You were going to have to get younger and cheaper there. Anyway, you drafted a guy and signed a guy at that position, knowing this day could come. There have been a lot of wheels in motion where I think they wanted to see the way the bye felt for the Broncos. The only thing good about the Broncos season is that the bye felt right in the middle.
Yeah.
And so they could come back from London and say, big, deep breath, what have we got? We've got a really bad coaching staff and a really bad offense and a lot of strength in the pass rush game, a lot of, you know, depth there. What do we do? Oh, and we don't have a pick until round 3 because we traded all those picks to get Russ. Well, you know, NFL GMs, they hate to give up picks, and they're screaming to get them back unless they're really desperate to make a move. Miami was really desperate. I think George Payton went to bed. He said this as much yesterday as I was working on this. And I wrote this on Monday. I know you were going to reference the Tuesday column some, but then I wrote on Monday, the short answer on Bradley Chubb is, if it's a really good day two package, i.e. high second round or a first rounder, you do it. Otherwise, don't bother. You might as well just try to tag him and get, you know, wait, pick that down the can another year.
Absolutely.
They got a first rounder. They got that pick. They got what they wanted. And George Payton, the GM, said as much, said, I went to bed Monday night thinking it probably wasn't going to happen. And Miami calls me at 8 o'clock and says, you can have the 21st, wherever it is, 22nd pick. That might still be moving based on where the Dolphins finish.
Yeah.
And so they went, yeah, okay. And they threw in a fourth and they threw in a tailback so they can continue to push Melvin Gordon out of the rotation even more than he is already. They got as much as they thought they were going to get for Bradley Chubb for a midseason deal.
Bittersweet, shrewd business, but good nonetheless, yeah, as far as I'm concerned, getting that first-round pick in return to turn the page to college football. I know the college football playoff rankings came out last night. They were the first one, so I don't really give a damn right now. What I'm looking at the most, I think, is Auburn's looking for another head coach again. They're paying about $650 million to coaches who don't actually coach their team at this point. But it's going to continue to come up with any big job. Is this going to be a Power 5 job where Deion Sanders gets an interview?
I would think you'd at least talk to him. I mean, Auburn, you bring this really close to home for you. Auburn's, it's a little like Iowa State wrestling. No matter what you do, you're always going to be number two. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, and although, you know, maybe Penn State trumps them both that way. But I always got that because I'm old enough. Now you're dating me. I'm going back 15 years when Kale Sanderson was a Cyclone. And when he left, I remember thinking, yeah, his rationale was sound. I'm tired of looking at the Brands brothers. No matter what I do, it just kind of is what it is. Auburn football is basically that, but with crazy people running it. So, yeah, it's the kind of thing where anything goes. And I if there's anybody, you know, that they were joking about it here because, you know, the worst Power 5 opening is Colorado. It's still dangling there. As more openings open up and push, it's sort of like me on a, if there were dating apps in the 90s when I was out there, I would have been pushed farther and farther down as more men hit the market.
Yeah.
That's kind of the CU football job. So now Auburn slots above it and everything else. Sort of like we would always joke about Deion coming to Boulder. And then we just laugh and shake our heads and know they'll hire Paul Chryst or somebody. But Auburn, given Deion's being a Southerner, being all that history and the fact that they need something to compete with the monster in that state, something to compete with Saban that isn't crazy, that's not a, you know, if nothing else, it's going to happen somewhere. Auburn has done dumber things.
Just to see Deion coach in the same conference as Saban? Oh. I mean,
the Iron Bowl, I mean, it's already over the top. Imagine how over the top it is if it's going to be Deion against Nick.
I mean, there's got to be a nerd out there, Darren Revelle type, that can put a valuation on how much Deion's presence alone would mean to the SEC in millions of dollars.
I think the ACC and SEC jobs, every AD has got to look at that and think, God, what if? Or, you know, even schools like our good friend Troy Dannon down at Tulane.
Yeah.
Who are ranked, you know?
Yeah.
Talking about Iowa ties.
He's not.
He is a Marshalltown guy.
He's not scared. He hired freaking Mike Dunleavy Sr.
Exactly. So, you know, would he ever do it? Not that he's just, but Willie Fritz isn't going anywhere, but would he do something crazy wacky? Now, I know Troy and he would not do something crazy and wacky, but if you are an AD in that region, you've got to think about that. You've got to say, you know what? If nothing else, what kind of juice is this going to give us if we need that kind of juice? And Auburn is one of those jobs, back to the point, that you've got to have some juice. You are a little brother job.
I tell you,
you've got to be able to do that.
I tell you what, if your appearance alone didn't make people change the channel, I do know that mentioning Troy Dannon made some people change the channel.
I'm sorry. But, you know, as a case in point.
Hey, I'm just calling it like it is. The facts are the facts. I'm not taking any sides on the matter. Real quick before I got to run, into the World Series at all? I'm way more into it than I thought I would be, and I am totally on the Phillies bandwagon.
I missed one and two for work because it just goes and goes. And I caught three last night after the chaos. And yeah, I mean, I'm with the rest of America, you know, the heck with the Astros, mm-hmm. you know, go get it, Phils. And the Phils are so flawed, but like,
that's why you got to love them.
You know what they're like? They're like the 87 Twins. They're like the.
I don't know that because I wasn't born yet.
You weren't born yet, but trust me, I think they were an 85 win champion. Very flawed, but God, were they fun? They bashed. They had Kirby. They had Hall of Famers where you needed it, and they had two pitchers. That was it. That's kind of the Phils, isn't it? Basically,
and if they're all on a heater, then you can do it, and they're on a heater.
That's what it reminds me. And the home field, as you know, the Metrodome when it was rocking, at least that it's like that. It just reminds me of that first Tom Kelly championship team. So go get it.
All right,
and I
Phils,
think they will.
Channel your 87 Twins and let's do this thing. Great stuff, Sean. I got to run. Have a great rest of your week, man. Good to catch up.
Hey, we'll talk White Sox manager next time. That'll be great.
Yeah, well, we can save that for next time. I got to do more research, figure out who that guy actually is.
Yeah, get mired in that one, my friend.
I will get mired. See ya. Oh,
I'm Kayla Burton with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. A frantic NFL trade deadline saw a flurry of moves and several Pro Bowlers now on new teams, including pass rusher Bradley Chubb. The Dolphins acquired the former Bronco for a package of picks, including a first rounder in 2023. Miami also sent a fifth round pick to the Niners for running back Jeff Wilson. Justin Fields has a talented new target after the Bears sent a second-round pick to Pittsburgh for receiver Chase Claypool. The Steelers also acquired Commanders corner William Jackson for a swap of late-round picks. The Falcons sent former first-round pick Calvin Ridley to the Jaguars for two future conditional draft choices. Ridley is suspended through at least this season after violating the league's gambling policy. And we had a rare intra-division trade, the Lions sending Pro Bowl tight end TJ Hawkinson to Minnesota for future second and third round picks. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Hot tubs, saunas, pools, chemicals, parts, grills, pellets, seasonings are all available locally at Tubs R Us. I'm Mike with Tubs R Us. We've been serving the Cedar Valley since 1994 with reputable service and quality products like QCA spas. Stop into our showroom to explore ways to turn your home into an oasis with a new spa, sauna, pool, or smoker grill. Whether you want quality time with your loved ones, to simply relax, or to entertain friends, we're here for you. We are Tubs R Us on the corner of Falls and Ainsboro, Waterloo.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. The problems surrounding the Brooklyn Nets have been well documented. There were multiple reports this offseason that Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant wanted out. There were rumors that Steve Nash had lost the locker room. Brooklyn's struggles to start the regular season haven't helped alleviate those concerns. The team now 2-6, and Ben Simmons has yet to overcome his shooting and injury issues. Whenever a team fails to meet expectations, the head coach usually pays the price. And yesterday, the Nets officially decided to part ways with Nash. Brooklyn will now reportedly turn to former Celtics head coach Ime Udoka. And from a basketball perspective, it's a home run. Udoka, former assistant for Brooklyn, took the Celtics to the NBA Finals last season in his first year. But when you consider the headache that Kyrie has become, Kevin Durant's offseason trade request, the uncertainty around Simmons' game, and now Udoka's own off-the-court issues, the drama surrounding the Nets is far from over. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. 2,977 people were killed on 9/11. Today, people are still suffering, losing their lives to 9/11-related illnesses. But a whole generation of kids know little to nothing about 9/11. Only Tennessee and Arizona mandate K-12 learning. That's why Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is essential. It gives educators access to nonfiction 9/11 resources for grades K-12. That includes scripted social studies lessons, activities. Plus, the Institute provides the nonfiction Discovering Heroes series of books to accompany the curriculum. And there's a speakers bureau with access to 9/11 first responders, survivors, and loved ones. There's a mobile exhibit, high-tech 83-foot tractor trailer that transforms into an 1,100-square-foot interactive museum. There's so much there for you. Never forget, donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers, t2t.org. Thank you.
Welcome back to Cole & Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan at 102.3 FM and on the 1650 The Fan app and streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
An update from the high school state volleyball tournament in Coralville. Dyke New Hartford sweeps Hinton and will play Whole Western Christian in the 2A championship match tomorrow at 4:45. So congratulations to Dyke New Hartford volleyball. It'll get a chance to make a three-peat happen tomorrow in the Class 2A championship at the state volleyball tournament against Whole Western Christian beginning at 4:45. Got to thank Dave Finnegan, play-by-play voice of Cedar Falls Tiger football, for joining today's show, and Sean Keeler of the Denver Post as well for joining. Hear from Cedar Falls Tiger football coach Brad Remmert between 6 and 8 tomorrow morning with Mark Simpson on Maximum Mornings. That's going to be a wrap for me today. Have a great night, everybody. I'm back tomorrow at 5. Hey, get your pigskin pick'em picks in.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.